This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe.
Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, where sometimes we follow up very vaguely on old episodes that we do. And Chelsea, Turns out he went to Bahrain to become an oil intermediary. Yeah, he had no job prospects and he had just been disgraced. So it's like, I'm going to get into the oil business.
Oh, fuck. Are you serious?
Yeah.
I knew that sounded vaguely familiar.
It didn't go well.
What a jackass.
Yeah. Anyhow, we are your podcast host, Taylor and Chelsea. Here today, apparently doing a two-parter on something. That's all I know. And it starts off on a bright note for some that follow us regularly. Anyhow, yeah. I'll let Chelsea take it from here.
This week, I'm covering an asshole of a totally unheard of different kind for this podcast. More of a fun, lovable asshole. And I know with this sentence, your mind must just be reeling, wondering what kind of asshole I'm covering, Taylor. Right?
Well, I would assume it's a British Andy episode.
You would assume based on that intro, wouldn't you? I think that's what you were assuming. I'm going to be hitting you with some cold, hard facts this week as I cover a leader in tabloid journalism that will undoubtedly give you a heavy dose of nostalgia. And the question is not who is the asshole, but what is this asshole? As we take a look into the enchanted, wonderful world of the Weekly World News.
I was funny enough just thinking that we should do Bat Boy as a song on the show. There was some sort of weird synchronicity. And can I just ask you, please, to give me the facts in like a warm, soft style? I just feel like that's going to feel better. I don't know, but I don't want to be hit by cold hard. I want soft and warm.
Okay, warm, soft fact.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's the first warm, soft fact. The Weekly World News, launched in 1979 by Generoso Pope Jr. How's that name for you? Do you like it?
I was not expecting it to go the way it did after Generoso. Like, every word after that is a surprise. There's only two.
I know. It just kept going, too. Undoubtedly, one of the strongest names I think I'll ever hear in my life. He founded not only the Weekly World News, he also founded the National Enquirer. Go figure.
No way.
I know, right? And you've never heard of Generoso Pope Jr.
No.
You would think he would be a common household name. The magazine represented the extremes of checkout counter attention-grabbing tactics for nearly 30 years. Renowned for its outlandish cover stories, often based on supernatural or paranormal themes, and an approach to news that teetered on the satirical.
I remember it from the checkout lines growing up, and there was always something going on with Bat Boy.
I totally remember seeing these going to the grocery store as a kid. I don't know that I actually ever picked one up and looked at it. And do you ever remember seeing it outside of the grocery store?
Never. I remember it distinctly in the movie, So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yes. The mom used it like actual
news. That's where the axe murderer story comes from.
See, that was my only reference. And I'm thinking, like, did I ever go to someone's house and, like, see in their pile of newspapers or anything? Never once.
It is very nostalgic to think back that people did, in fact, used to have magazine stacks.
Yep, they sure did.
You do not see those anymore.
You really don't. And it's very sad when I look back that I don't even think I grabbed one. And now that I'm old enough to go to the grocery store and do my own shopping, I don't remember the demise of it. I don't have a hard memory of going to the grocery store and being like, oh, that's not there anymore. I would welcome seeing one of these at the grocery store checkout now.
Yeah. And just if you guys ever feel nostalgic for it and you want to do it the cheap way, I am just going to give you this life hack. Your local library has basically a subscription to every magazine you could want. So just go get a copy there.
Nice.
Yeah.
I do know that my library has them. You're not allowed to check them out, though. And I just don't feel like going. That Weekly World News is definitely not something they have. So
see, you say that, but I don't know if you ever looked.
I have looked.
Oh, okay.
Definitely no Weekly World News.
Was that part of your research for this episode?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I've looked at the magazines. I would know if the Weekly World News is there. Do you like recall when you stopped seeing them?
No. And it might just be when we stop shopping with our parents.
I feel like there's a large gap in time where I was just not at grocery stores. I don't know what I was doing in life at that point, but I feel like there's a young
and there was
version of myself where I was just not at grocery stores.
Basically, when we reached adulthood was the introduction of the self-checkout, and there is not magazines in the self-checkout line.
That's true.
And that's for a long time, true. I did the self-checkout line because I was without child and cares and worries. And I was looking to be expedient. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And you're dealing with life's ethical issues of I can't find the specific barcode. Maybe I just pretend it's a different apple that's 50 cents less per pound. But I could go to jail.
So in my memory, I don't have a specific one where I'm like, huh, it's not there any longer.
And I do go to the regular checkouts now because I have to have a fairly large grocery shop. And I can't say I remember seeing the Weekly World News there. I definitely remember seeing like the National Enquirer or things along that and People Magazine.
Everything there
those
sucks
are still
now.
There.
There's totally nothing I actually want to pick up and take a look through. Not at all.
Celebrity not gossip. Not bit. Bat Boy. Not Bat Boy.
Oh, I would be all over Bat Boy if Bat Boy was there. And I probably would pick up a copy. I'm not going to lie. I would be the person that would have a copy of that magazine if I was old enough. Though I don't remember when I was a kid being like compelled enough to be like, can you buy this for me?
No. Even as a kid, because I was too fairly young. Certain it was fake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And as interested as I always was in the paranormal, I never really wanted a Weekly World News. It's all very interesting psychological stuff. Anyhow, it was reporting mostly fictional news stories in the United States from 1979 to 2007.
To be fair, how is that different from any of the assholes that we've covered?
No, it's true. And it is mostly fictional news that most of the assholes are covering as well.
Yeah, they just think they can tell when it's fictional and you don't need to know.
Yeah. So as I was saying, this is in the time that I wouldn't have been accompanying my parents on grocery trips where it falls off the map and you're not seeing it in grocery stores anymore into my young adulthood where I'm also not frequenting grocery stores. In the 2000s, the circulation of the Weekly World News peaked at 1.2 million per issue, which is pretty good for...
That is really good for just making the shit up as you go.
Yeah. We'll get into exactly what was going into it, but it's pretty high, especially for me, like not having anyone in particular where we can place having bought one of these.
And Chelsea... I don't know if this was part of your research, but I am curious. Do you know how much it costs an issue? I really don't. Like, the times I remember seeing it, currency was not something I really valued anyway.
And I don't know. It wasn't a part of my research, but I would put it on par for probably...
It was probably the same price as most magazines, right?
Nah, I would...
Or do you think it's cheaper?
This is just me speculating. It was published entirely in black and white, so it was probably just higher than a newspaper. I don't know that I would put it as high as an like a People magazine or something like that, but I could be wrong. When I look at magazines now, highly unaffordable to my overall budget. Magazines back in the day were like $3 or $4 or something. And I know that because I bought like J14. Why? What was it? Why something?
I don't know. I used to buy a GQ because I thought it was like incredibly suave and cool and fashion forward as a young man.
Mine's more teenage girl.
I used to buy Mads and Cracks too.
Y4 maybe? Yeah, GQ is just like the Mads and Cracks.
Yeah, same thing. What's the difference?
Yeah. Okay, so Weekly World News went on to thrive online between 2009 and 2015.
Get out of here. Did it become a cult?
No. We're going to talk about that a little more in a little bit, but the Weekly World News was first published going back all the way to the beginning. And take a guess. Take a guess. Where do you think?
Oh, what country, city?
Where? No, let's go with state.
What state was it first published in? I'm going to say New Jersey.
Florida.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. First published in Lantana, Florida. It moved to Boca Raton in the late 90s, which would explain a lot. It was unique as a tabloid because it was printed entirely in black and white. The Weekly World News traditionally claim that it always printed the truth, but many stories appeared to have comedic intent, more so as time went by. I guess this was a time that you were able to get away with things like that, saying that they're true and they're 100% not. As recalled by Joe Berger, a former White House correspondent who served as a Weekly World News editor from 1981 to 2001.
Wait.
Which is a weird sentence.
You got involved like politically, like fairly high up. After, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally weird sentence.
Yeah.
He said, quote, about 80% of the stories were clipped from newspapers. We had three or four clippers who were surrounded by mountains of newspapers. We spent the day looking at newspapers throughout the world, clipping weird stories.
That makes sense where the name came from then.
Yeah, about 50% were about people narrowly escaping death, someone falling off a cliff, or hanging off a tree branch for 4 days until they were rescued, end quote. Seems to me where they kind of got their start was looking at oddities around the world, which I can totally get behind. I can totally get behind the whole thing, to be honest with you. But they're kind of taking stories from everywhere. It's just like, these are weird. Let's put them in our little publication. The Weekly World News never publicly contradicted the accuracy of its own stories until 2004, when it began stating, quote, the reader should suspend disbelief for the sake of enjoyment, end quote. And I just love that we grew up in a world where we could see this on a newsstand and it was sold as the complete truth. Whereas today, all you're hearing is fake news and what's AI, what's not. You can't tell the truth. You have AI warnings and you don't know what to believe sometimes. But this is just on the shelves.
The Weekly World News could not exist in the way it did today.
No, not at all. There's no room for it. No. And which is, it's like
sad.
A little bit, it's sad, but it's also like a little bit gives you like the warm fuzzies inside that.
Yeah,
that's
but no, it would have a bad following today if it existed today. Like, yeah. It would be on par with QAnon.
Oh, totally. The Weekly World News ran strange but true stories such as, quote, devout Christian attacked and he's the one fined, referring to British street evangelist Harry Hammond. Other verifiable stories printed by the tabloid included those of a giant mutant hog monster attacking Georgia and the arrest of Tallahassee, Florida man whose pants were on fire at the time.
Chelsea, I'm just going to say those articles all actually sound like they did in fact happen.
See, here's the thing. It started with articles that were true. Which is nice.
Yeah, you raise a fair point there. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just
sounds like work.
Weird publications from all these other different world newspapers at the time.
But that does sound like work. You're right.
Yeah. It also reported on the discovery of an infant dragon preserved in formaldehyde, proving the existence of dragons. Although this was later proven to be a hoax, I guess. It also quoted Vatican exorcist Father Gabriel Amorth on Pope John Paul II's battle with Satan and ran a story on the trademark dispute between O, the Oprah magazine, and the German erotic periodical also named O.
Oh.
That's, I wish I would have taken a look at that one, honestly.
Which
other
one?
Comment, the O one. Okay. the clear choice in those two. Other common weekly world news stories involved alien abductions, the Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, time travel, predictions of an oncoming depression or the apocalypse, or other newly found lost prophecies or religious relics. There were also characters who in later years became stock fixtures in weekly world news stories, most famously Batboy, a half-bat, half-boy discovered in West Virginia caverns.
Did not fight a single crime, unfortunately. Yeah.
And P. Laud, an extraterrestrial who became involved in Earth politics and had an affair with Hillary Clinton. Since the Weekly World News began to publish online, its stories have occasionally been treated as legitimate news stories by readers unaware of the nature of the publication. More about it going online in a moment. In late 2010, the Weekly World News ran a satirical story written by Frank Lake, indicating that the Los Angeles Police Department intended to purchase 10,000 jetpacks at a total cost of one.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
$1 billion. The story was reported as fact by the Fox and Friends Morning News Show. I love this.
Yeah, that sounds like Fox. That does sound like Fox.
I know. They're like the start of fake news, I think. The Weekly World News reported twice, once in 2011 and once in 2012, that the social media website Facebook would shut down. Both times, the claim was interpreted by some as genuine. The second time, Facebook issued an official reply to the technological blog Mashable, stating, quote, "The answer is no. So please help us put an end to this silliness. We didn't get the memo about shutting down, and there's lots to do. So we'll just keep cranking away like always," end quote. Whether partially fictional or wholly true, the writing style remained as fact-based as possible, end quote. Whether partially fictional or wholly true, the writing style remained as fact-based as possible. Bob Lind, a writer at the Weekly World News, recalled for Mental Floss, quote, "We wrote these things straight for people who wanted to believe these things. We wrote it like a news story," end quote. February 1989, Weekly World News published real graphic photos on its front page of the post-autopsied body of executed serial killer Ted Bundy, which is pretty intense.
Yeah,
that is real news, though. They're not making that up. That is crazy that they did that, though. Front page.
And they're the only ones.
Yeah. Managing editor Eddie Klontz defended his decision to run the photos, claiming that he hoped that such images would deter other murderers, as if they're going through grocery store self-checkouts, being like, you know what?
Well, they all did, technically, I think.
Maybe? I don't know. They could have just be getting food at, like, the local 7-Eleven. Well, they had magazines, too, I think. As if they would see that and be like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to do it.
Yeah. And also, serial killers are not the only people who get autopsied.
That's true.
Like, that's regular true. People too as well.
That's true.
Like, you could say mathematician with the same impact.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. I guess nobody even thought about that. Angry and surprised, officials in Florida vowed to catch the person responsible. That is for the autopsy photos of Ted Bundy on the front page. Eventually arresting a low-level employee of the Alachua County, Florida Medical Examiner's Office and charging him with taking the photographs and selling them to the Weekly World News. Do you think he was wrong?
Well, he did sell them, so kind of.
Like, if he just gave them for free, do you think it would be less of a...
I would think ethically, there's more of like, a, these are things that should be seen, as opposed to like, I could make money off of this.
That's true. I mean, he is just living in a capitalism society, though.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and a libertarian would say, yeah, I think. Yeah. Unless he was under contract, which is the weird side of that.
Like, I don't know where that falls. Like, was he wrong? I don't know. Is that not a thing you can do?
I think ethically, as like a mortician, right? That's what he is.
I don't think
you're supposed to sell pictures of people you're autopsying.
Do you think no? Yeah. I have no idea about what morticians can and can't do.
But like,
do you think they can't do that?
You know what? Sorry, I do think ethically it's wrong, because the only reason he went to sell it is because this person was famous.
That is true. You wouldn't just be
he wouldn't normally sell these photos to other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you couldn't. There's no market for anyone that's not Ted Bundy, probably. Well, there might be further. Okay. I can get behind that. As other supermarket tabloids switched to celebrity gossip, not sure what they switched from at this point, the Weekly World News remained devoted to its original content, refusing to fact check its way out of a sensational story. Or, as Lane Calder, Weekly World News co-founder and Inquirer, editor-in-chief from 1973 to 1977, told Mental Floss, quote, "We'd say Elvis was still alive and run a picture of
they
what
did,
Elvis
didn't
would
they?
Have looked like at the time." Oh, yeah.
Like many times.
Totally. "We'd get dozens of phone calls if someone calls and says, 'I saw Elvis. You didn't try to disprove the headline,'" end quote. I love that. I would love to work at a place like this. This would just be my groove. I feel like I would be totally in my element. We don't fact check. Fact check is beyond us. It doesn't even exist at this point.
I will say, sadly, I'm also seeing like the start of the far right that we see today and the conspiratorial side of it.
I don't think that that's something that actually existed at this time.
No, it didn't. But like, I'm seeing the anti-vax thing sprouting from this.
Do you?
Yeah. We don't fact check. We just have people liking and calling us and saying that you're right.
I love it. I'm fresh off like a 5-hour listen of Alex Jones, and Alex Jones would use people just emailing into him as
that's
saying,
the start
like,
of
have
the story,
you ever
yeah.
looked into this conspiracy theory? And he would use it as a fact.
He would just lie and say, yeah, I came up
he
with
would
this.
Use it, yeah. No, he would use it
me.
As a source.
Yeah, he would say, my sources tell me.
And I just feel like that's what I'm getting from them, but to a lesser extent. It very well could have inspired others. I didn't quite get to that point of that, what it inspired from this. But it's definitely in a world where fact-checking didn't exist, really. It probably did, because you're in the media. You kind of got to do a little bit of due diligence there, but not to the extent that we see it today, because we see so much AI and so much fake news, I guess. Did we see fake news before? Probably, but we just trusted the media. We didn't have Facebook where people were just saying anything and people were taking it as fact. And it just kind of...
Alt media didn't exist until the late 2000s.
Yeah. And I would say this is probably the very beginning of it. I would go out on a limb to say, I don't know.
Oh yeah, no, outside of this, I think of Alex Jones as like one of the first.
And this would have been after, or before,
way before, because Alex Jones is like 94, 95.
Yeah, so it's refreshing.
It was, what's the other Bill? It's Bill Moore and Bill something, the one who got like gunned down.
Cooper,
Bill Cooper, right? Yeah. He was kind of the first, but like he would be right around the same time and nowhere near as popular as Weekly World News.
Oh, no, not even close. So I just kind of find it nostalgic that this is where we grew up. This is kind of
and it was
the environment.
They didn't seem political. They were non-political.
And something like this would be so attacked now, but there was room for it back then. It was just like, whatever. Just don't pay attention to it if you don't believe it, right? And today it would have been attacked. So it just
I don't think you even talked to your friends about it. Like, it was just something you did on your own.
Yeah, it was just I think at that point, it's just something that you understood to be crazy because it had Bat Boy on the cover, right?
Yeah.
You just understood that it was, though they were taking actual, I never got past the headlines because I never actually picked it up and looked. So I never actually looked at the stories from other
places. No, it was just like, oh, that seems fun.
Yeah, exactly. And then you move on. Yeah, it's just a super like kind of nostalgic thing of the times, that something that like this that could exist where it couldn't exist like that anymore. So Derek Lang, a stringer for the paper, I don't know what that means, could be a typo, could not be. He said that, quote, everything in my stories was fake, you know, depending on how you define fake. There were regular columns that were included in the newspaper. This included Ed Anger, who was an opinion article. There was first Dear Babs and later Dear Dottie, who were outspoken advice columnists. Hi Dolly was relationship advice. Horse Sense, which was medical advice.
Huh.
Monkey Business, which was financial and business related advice and information. And Madame Melissa, who was a psychic. The most famous of these was Ed Anger, a character created in 1979 by staffer Raffi Klinger. Anger was perpetually an angry conservative. A typical column began, quote, I'm pig biting mad, end quote, who rallied against illegal immigrants, women, feed limits, and rainforests, among many other perceived ills. Anger hated foreigners, yoga, whales. Only one reason you could hate whales. Speed limits and pineapple on pizza. What a fucking son of a bitch.
Wow.
He liked flogging, electrocutions, and beer.
Did this person happen to go on to become a beloved children's musician?
Who are you thinking about? Like Mr. Rogers?
Raffi.
Raffi, no.
Okay.
No.
Different Raffi. So, got it.
I did think, you know, I'm going to spoil something. I'm going to read Ed Anger still lives on the Weekly World News online. I'm going to read the most recent. I was just going to pick one at random, but I think the most recent has immediately appealed to me.
Okay. I do think I screwed up because I thought that you mentioned a person named Raffi right before him.
You did.
Okay.
He was, let me just think. He was a character created in 1979 by staffer Raffi Klinger.
Okay. Okay. That's a different.
Didn't screw up.
Okay.
I don't know if Raffi's name is Raffi Klinger. Could you imagine? That would be such a twist.
I'm going to make the angriest person to get all the rage out for, so I can just do kids.
You kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can exist in two worlds like that. I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
You totally can.
One of the happiest people
are very dynamic.
Out there. Yeah. One of the happiest people out there writes horror mangas in Japan.
You can be both.
Junji Ito. Very happy person. One of the happiest people in Japan. Writes horror.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's a dynamic human
Whereas
being.
Stephen King used cocaine to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he's still upset. It's the difference.
Yeah. So I'm going to read this, not Raffi column. It is, who is it? Ed Anger's column. His most recent, July 11th, 2025. I'm madder than a bull in a bounce house about this Epstein client list cover up.
What?
This is going to be good. Yeah, I haven't even read this.
No, would a bull in a bounce house be angry? It would definitely be confused.
Okay,
and I also
I've heard that they're pissed in a China shop. So,
No, but I have to assume, one, they're confused. Two, the bouncy castle can't support the weight of a bull.
Okay,
well
then that's
immediately deflate.
That's why he's mad.
Is it mad or is it confused and scared?
It's both.
I guess what's the difference? Yeah.
It's both.
That's a good point.
It's definitely both. I would be mad if I was bouncing and having fun and then all of a sudden I'm not.
It never bounced. It got in there and it deflated. And
maybe he knew he should be bouncing.
Bowls can't have the concept of that. It would get in there not knowing that kids were having a fun time in there, and therefore it would have a fun time in there. It just got in there and collapsed upon it. We're attributing too much wherewithal to the ball.
That's just sad. I just feel real sad for the ball.
It's not angry. It's very confused and just maybe scared.
It's probably scared.
But again, what is anger? What anger is a mixture of confusion and fear. Let's face
it. Here's what I think it is at this point. Okay. I think Ed Anger is projecting his anger. If he is angry, at this point, it just seems like a last name. So people may be making assumptions about Ed.
Maybe they just read it in the wrong tone because
it's true.
Character is badly.
They might. But let's see. This is the first Ed Anger column I've actually read. Let's get into it. Folks, I'm so steamed I could fry an egg on my forehead. The Jeffrey Epstein client list, that filthy roster of high-flying perverts and power-hungry creeps, still hasn't seen the light of day. And I'm about ready to bust a gasket. This is the kind of thing that makes my blood boil hotter than a Texas sidewalk in July. The FBI is sitting on this list like a hen on a rotten egg, and I'm here to tell you it's time to crack it open and let the stench out. For those of you who've been living under a rock, bracket, and I ain't judging because rocks are probably cleaner than Washington, D.C., and bracket, Jeffrey Epstein was a slimy, jet-setting scumbag who ran a sicko sex trafficking ring for the rich and famous. We're talking politicians, CEOs, Hollywood bigwigs, the kind of folks who think laws are just suggestions. The feds raided this operation, grabbed his little black book, and now they're acting like it's the recipe for Aunt Mabel's secret meatloaf. Well, I say hogwash. The American people deserve to know who was pals with this creep, and we deserve to know now. The FBI's got this list locked up tighter than Fort Knox, and it's driving me up the wall. What are they hiding? Who are they protecting? I'll tell you who. They're buddies in the elite club of champagne-sipping, caviar-slurping fat cats who think they're above the law. These are the same clowns who lecture us about transparency while they're covering up dirt that make a sewer rat blush. If there's nothing to hide, then why is the FBI acting like they're guarding the Holy Grail? Spill the beans, G-Man. Let's see the names. I can just imagine the excuses. Oh, Ed, we can't release the list. It's an ongoing investigation. Baloney! This investigation's been ongoing longer than a soap opera, and I'm sick of it. Or maybe they'll just say, releasing the list could compromise national security. Double baloney with a side of bunk. The only thing it'll compromise is the reputations of some big shots who thought they could party with Epstein and skate free. Well, I say it's time to name names and shame shames. And don't give me that privacy nonsense either. Privacy is for folks who pay their taxes and mow their lawns, not for creeps who allegedly hung out with a guy like Epstein. If you're on that list, you don't get to hide behind due process while the rest of us are left wondering which of our so-called leaders was sipping martinis on Pedophile Island. The public's got a right to know if the people running this country or starring in our movies or signing our paychecks were buddies with a monster, period. It goes on for a while. I'm actually quite surprised with how that was going, given what I kind of set up for what it was like. It seemed like he was very conservative.
Yeah.
But conservatives really like... Conservatives also really want the list revealed.
Well, some of them do, yes.
Yeah.
I think that is a misappropriation or a stereotype that somebody who is angry is a Republican. But that's also true. He might be a Republican and just like also really want the list.
Yeah, no, that's true.
We don't know for sure.
That's just one he had. I mean, he's been going back for how many years now?
So a lot.
That one caught my eye. I was going to choose from a different one. I mean, who doesn't want to hear about the Epstein list being released? Because let's not forget that that's a thing that's happening right now. We want the list to come out no matter who is on it. And Trump is probably on it. Allegedly? Do I say allegedly after that?
I think so.
Anyhow, Beginning on May 9th, 2005, the Weekly World News went all new, along with other tabloid papers such as the National Enquirer, which had become bigger, bolder, better.
Okay, because it is the same group. I assume.
Yeah, it is. In the new Weekly World News, Serena and Sonia Sebak's psychic column was replaced by the horoscopes of Madame Malisa, and Dottie Primrose's Dear Dottie was supplanted by an advice column called Hi Dolly, written by a middle-aged Southern blonde woman.
They did not change it.
No. The Weekly World News included a weekly weird picture search by mad cartoonist Sergio Arajones. Other features included trivia, test yourself, jokes, and misadventure, aka the gayest American hero, who has penetrated the mob, gone to Hollywood and fought Dragula, traveling from the depths of the Earth's center to outer space. Though it mainly featured offbeat stories, it also featured legitimate games and quizzes such as crossword puzzles, a segment called Bedside Matter, where readers chose which celebrity is best suited for the featured celebrity, and Mystery Eyes, which featured photographs of five pairs of eyes which belonged to celebrities and readers had to guess who they were. In 1999, David Pecker bought American Media Inc., which owned the Weekly World News. Within the next 2 years, many of the Weekly World News' longtime writers and editors were sadly gone. In a filing with the United States Securities and Exchange Commission in March 2007, American Media said the sales of Weekly World News in 2006 were only 83,000 per issue. Huge drop. Not in its heyday anymore. The times they are changing. Weekly World News ceased its print publication in August 2007. It was then published as an insert with the Sun magazine, with the new material being printed alongside articles and columns from older issues until the Sun itself ceased publication in 2012. In October 2008, Bat Boy LLC, a company started by Neil McGuinness, bought Weekly World News. It was relaunched as an online-only publication in 2009. In January 2001, the Weekly World News was made available via an online paid subscription. The online edition was emailed to subscribers bi-weekly. The online edition closely resembled the printed Weekly World News in both appearance. It uses the Weekly World News logo, used from 1979 to 2001. And subject matter, the first issue headline was Werewolf Sues Airline Over Flight Delay. So still staying true to the original stuff. In January 2013, Weekly World News announced that it would go behind a paywall. For those of you that are worried, it is no longer behind a paywall. That is why I had read to you from Ed Anger. Otherwise, we would have had to charge you to listen to this episode, sadly. Lucky for you, it is free. In August 2019, Greg D'Alessandro took over as CEO, editor-in-chief, with David Collins as president/CFO.
Not related to Lou Elizondo, is it?
No. It's okay. D'Alessandro.
Okay.
Could you imagine if it was, though? And then they only printed the UFO stories in the Weekly World News. They relaunched the brand and began developing a number of projects with Hollywood producers. And on September 21st, 2020, Weekly World News launched a Kickstarter campaign in an effort to expand reporting, graphics, and video production, as well as to get the tabloid back into print. The campaign was successful in reaching its financial goal. On March 21st, 2021, Weekly World News printed its first full-length print publication in 15 years. Quote, Weekly World News' greatest covers was printed as a limited special edition, 5,000 copies, which is nowhere near what it was selling in its heyday.
Even when it stopped being printed?
Yeah.
Is that good for magazines these days? I don't actually know. Like, they can't be selling anywhere near what they were in the early 2000s.
That's very true. And I didn't actually look at that. It may be a supply and demand so that they could go for more. Yeah. It might have been a way to make more money. And that's just me.
Speculating, yeah.
And that's where I'm going to leave it until our episode for next week. Do you have any comments?
It made me very nostalgic, this episode.
I know.
And like, not to like the actual magazine, more so just like shopping as like a child.
I know. You know, there's only so many things that I remember shopping as a child. One, So Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not so much shopping, so much as having them in my lunch as a child and really liking them.
That and you're so much more delicious, open to kids as they eating say. The food while they shop than the adults.
Yeah, totally. The other thing I specifically remember while shopping was I remember a big thing around the magazines and such when Princess Diana died. I don't know why that sticks in my memory so much, but that was a huge thing. And the other thing is the Weekly World News. Like, those are my three things that I can name off the top of my head about shopping as a child.
Oh, I always remember.
Those are them.
I always remember our mom picking up a People's magazine, like every shopping trip.
Oh, every single time. Never a Weekly World News, though.
No.
And I don't know whether to be impressed by that or disappointed by that.
No. And disappointingly, People's is the one that still exists.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in print, at least, at the counter. We don't know if she subscribes to Weekly World News now.
No.
She very well might. I doubt
it. We have our suspicions, but yeah, we don't know for sure. Anyhow, with that, no. I have been Taylor, here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.